our scripture comes from Philippians 4:1. And I worked on this sermon about 3 weeks ago and decided on the scripture then. And I didn't know how appropriate it would be for us after the week that we've been through. So I hope this means a lot to you. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companions, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Some of you laughed. Oh, okay. All right. I'm missing out on the fun here. Rejoice. I like that. When Paul tells us to stand firm, to not waver, to stay on track and be steady in God, he does not tell us that we will not slam into a few things. A wall of water slammed into our town. What happens when things slam into us? Paul doesn't say that standing firm is going to be easy. We may deal with people like Euodia and the other one. But in this passage, Paul lets us know that for him, remaining in a relationship with God is worth putting all of his hope, his strength, all of his life into standing firm in that relationship no matter what happens. This is how much God means to Paul. There is obviously nothing more important to Paul than keeping his relationship with God and with others. Paul is sold out. There may have been times when Paul wavered and had doubts, but when he wrote this passage, he was not intimidated. He was standing firm. He's on a roll. Listen to what he writes. Rejoice in the Lord always. He really wants his friends to hear this, especially because he knows that the people who are reading this letter have been working hard, laboring hard for the gospel. He knows they have been dealing with people like Euodia and the other one. He knows his tired friends are probably thinking, yeah, right, Paul. Rejoice? Always? So he says it twice. Rejoice. Always. I know a woman who always asks, how are you doing, twice. She says the first time they're always fine. But when she looks them in the eye and she says again, how are you doing, it's sometimes a different story. Paul is determined to encourage his friends so he says it again, and he hopes that they will hear. I say it again, rejoice. Paul wants so much to encourage these faithful followers of Christ. He wants so much for them to know the peace and the presence of God in every kind of circumstance, including suffering. Paul's greatest desire for those friends that he loves is for them to continue in their walk with God and to stand firm no matter what the circumstances are. Paul knows that it is only when we are in relationship with God that we can rejoice no matter what we are going through. I asked a friend if I could share this with you. She is struggling, and she gave me permission to do that. Her husband has dementia and struggles with memory loss and anger. We talk to each other at least every other day because she needs to talk. She has to deal with exhaustion, isolation, and days when he confronts her. She has been reading the book, Let Them. Have you heard that of that book? It's kind of up there on the chart. But I recommended it. I read it over my vacation. And it's got some good things when we're dealing with people like Yodia or, you know, difficulties. And it has some good input. And she's been reading it. And a few days ago, it was like last week that this happened, Ronnie wanted something from the store, and she told him that she was just too tired and that she would get it later for him. Well, he got upset, and he said, well, I'll go get it myself. And he hasn't driven for about 2.5 years and does not have the keys. Instead of causing a fight, she went to her purse, she got her keys, and she let him. But she listened at the garage door to see what would happen. He opened the garage door. He started the car, but she didn't hear him back out. So she opened the door and went out and opened his door. He was crying. She said, "What was wrong?" And he said, "I don't remember how to drive." And she said, "There's a lot of things that we can't do anymore." And they held each other, and they cried together. They didn't scream awful things at each other. 15 minutes later, Ronnie remembers none of that, but my friend does. So she calls me. And we become like Paul to each other, encouragers, reminding each other to stand firm and to trust God. And we're not, either one of us, too good always at trusting. And so we encourage each other to do that. We know, like Paul, that it is only when we are in relationship with God that we are able to rejoice no matter what we are going through. Paul goes on to say to his friends, don't be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul is not giving his friends a nice little platitude here. Paul is actually living out the words that he is writing. Paul is not in a safe place as he writes these words to his friends. Paul is probably dealing with his own worries and his own fears. The circumstances of Paul's life do not hold much hope except for his hope in Christ, because he is in prison. And yet, he is experiencing hope. This passage is full of hope. Paul has so completely put his trust in God that he is not anxious about his situation. Paul has learned to put his worries into prayers and into praises. He has no doubt about the God that he worships. He is standing firm. He trusts a God who has given him a sense of God wholeness. He believes that no matter what things look like, God has a way of just making things work together for good. He has seen God put chaos and difficulties into the most excellent harmonies. From prison, he challenges his friends to walk with God down the road of righteousness, no matter what is happening. Some of us might be in prison too. Maybe we are in prisons that we have made for ourselves because we haven't bothered to find out what is true and right and pure. We haven't kept our minds on things that are noble and honorable, things that are winsome and grace-filled. We haven't thought about the value of honesty and excellence, about respect and fairness, about justice for all sides and true freedom. We have not stayed true to God, and we have not always stood firm. Did any of you see the woodworker that made that big cross and he took it down to the shores of the Guadalupe River? Did you see that? He made it in his shop and then he took it down. It's huge. I mean, he's, you know, maybe my height. The cross is about this big. It's a huge cross. And he put it down by the river. And his name is Dan. And some people wrote this about what he did. This is what hope looks like in the middle of heartbreak. This is what it means to show up for a hurting town even when words fail. The Guadalupe River has taken so much. Families, homes, generations, futures. We can kind of relate. But in moments like this, it also becomes a place to lay down our grief, and to lift up our pain, and to stand in unity, no matter who we are or what we believe, and pray for the searching, the grieving, and the rebuilding. Paul is challenging us to stand firm, to stay true, and to act like people who worship a God who can make a difference in our lives and in our relationships. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 11, Paul has the same message for the Ephesian congregation. He writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Paul often challenges his friends to stand firm and to think like people who worship a God who can make them unflinching in the face of overwhelming odds. I read an article a few years ago in the Reader's Digest magazine, and it stuck with me. It was about two sisters. They were in Germany for the world rowing tryouts. They were trying out. And they were coming back from one of the events, and they were exhausted, and they needed to get on the train. So they got up there, and they got up there by the train, and they were a little bit confused about if it was the right train or not. And so one of the sisters ran back to the board to look and check and make sure. And the other one stood by the train. Well, the train started to move. And so the sister by the train, she just put her hand in the door thinking that, you know, it would reopen. Well, in Germany, the trains do not have that kind of a safety door. And the door did not reopen. It completely closed on her hand and she could not get it out. The other sister saw what was happening. And she started running up ahead and banging on the windows, trying to get up to the conductor, jumping, you know, trying to see if someone would see what was going on, and nobody did. Her sister was being hurled towards her, running as fast as she could possibly run. She only had about 20 feet left on the platform. An instinct said, jump out of the way. A collision could drag them both to their deaths, but this was her sister. So she squared herself, and she set her body for impact. She opened her arms, and she stood firm. When those two girls slammed together, her arm did come loose, and it was pulled free, and both of the girls were injured badly, but they survived. And one of them was able to go back to try out again for the U.S. national rowing team that next year when this article was written. And the other sister was not quite ready, but she had not given up her dream. What a picture of someone who is unflinching in the face of overwhelming odds. When Paul tells us to stand firm, to not waver, to stay on track, to be steady in the Lord, he does not tell us that we will not slam into a few things. A sister who prepared herself for impact didn't know what would happen. She just put all of her hope, all of her strength, all of herself into that decision to take the impact. When Paul started out as a follower of Jesus, he probably didn't know what it would end up costing him. But along the way, he fell so deeply in love with Jesus that it no longer mattered what it cost. With Jesus by his side, he determined to stand firm, unflinching, no matter what the cost would be. He was never going to let go of Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on that night when Jesus gave up his life for us, it was Jesus' trust in God's plan and love for us that kept his will set on what had to be done, no matter what it cost him. It cost him his life. He took our place. He died our death so that we could have a relationship with God through Christ. He trusted God. May we also determine to stand firm and to trust a God who loves us that much. To put all our hope, all of our strength, all of ourself into the decision to trust God and take the impact. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would give us strength. And we thank you for the hope that we have. We just praise you, God. You are a good, good God. Be with us. Be in our community. Be in the world. And help us all to see who holds it all together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. (Clears throat) Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again, that's who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh yes, you say I'm yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe.